This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Superstitious folks just might want to break out an extra rabbit's foot tomorrow. For the second straight month, there is a Friday the 13th. Now, for some of us, the day may summon fun memories of bad horror movies, but for others, it can be a day of fear, real or imagined. In fact, there is a nearly unpronounceable word to describe this fear of Friday the 13th, parascaviticatriophobia, I hope. Joining us right now from the other side of Lake Erie is Professor Phillips Stevens of the University at Buffalo. His research includes topics such as cultural anthropology and religion and magic and magical thinking. Welcome, Professor.
Thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, first of all, let's cut to the chase. How do you pronounce the word that describes the fear of Friday the 13th?
I have no idea. In fact, that's the first I've heard of it. Triskaidekaphobia is a word that I finally mastered, and that one means fear of 13. Now, this word that you've been trying to get out includes Friday, and my classical Greek is nil, so I just can't do it.
Tell us this. Why is it Friday the 13th has such a negative reputation, particularly in the Western world?
The number 13 has been a taboo number for over what is probably two millennia now. It seems to originate in the story of the Last Supper of Jesus. There were 13 people at that table, and the 13th was Judas, depending on how you count them, who betrayed Jesus, and the next day was the crucifixion. That meal, that Seder meal, took place on a Thursday, and the next day was the most terrible event in the life of Jesus and in the life of his followers, and people put those two things together. This is an example of a taboo, an act to be avoided because somehow participating in it might bring about an unfortunate consequence similar to what was originally being commemorated. This is an example of magical thinking based on principles of similarity. Things or actions that are similar to other things or actions are universally believed to have causal relationship. You can make things happen by acting them out. And this is a universal belief, absolutely universal. And similarly, you can make unfortunate things happen by acting them out. And so this kind of taboo involves the active avoidance of establishing a magical connection.
That's why we will never see the 13th floor in a high-rise elevator, will we?
And in many airlines, the 13th row, although I have seen some 13, and much to my surprise, in recent years, the taboo seems to be dying. Huh. But no Washington area hostess, at least earlier in the 20th century, would seat 13 at a table. That was an absolute taboo, directly derived from the story of the Last Supper.
Interesting.
It seems folklorists are pretty well agreed that all of the superstition about 13 comes from that Christian story.
So does the superstition, Professor, hold more in the Western world than in the Eastern world?
It is very widespread, even beyond Christian areas, because certain things, Malcolm Gladwell called them memes, you know, mm-hmm. certain ideas spread kind of on their own. And since the brain is wired for magical thinking, this one would spread by itself, even separate from Christianity.
And Professor, it's interesting, you use that term magical thinking and not the more commonly used word superstition. And you say there's a very fine difference between those two concepts.
What we call superstitions are mostly, nearly all, are examples of magical thinking. But I tell my students that we should avoid labeling them as superstition because the word itself implies that the user has a better explanation, that the one to whom the label is applied is somehow lesser in thinking, in intellect. Superstitio, to stand above, is the direct Latin root of this word. And, you know, it's a downer. It's putting someone down, really.
Yes.
And so anthropologically, it's not really an acceptable word. That's all. Maybe I'm nitpicking. But magical thinking, as I said, is universal. It's based on two basic principles, although there are others, the principles of similarity and principles of contact. Things that resemble other things have a causal relationship. Things that have been in contact, direct physical contact with other things, have a stronger relationship, even when they're separated. And these ways of thinking are absolutely universal, and it suggests that the brain is prone to that kind of thinking.
Interesting. And truly, it seems like the way that people who are uneasy about Friday the 13th, the only thing to do is really get through it. There's nothing you're going to be able to do to make that unease go away.
Right. And some of these so-called superstitions may actually be beneficial, like walking under a ladder or that kind of thing, because they cause people to avoid risky situations, you know, and be more careful about what they're doing. And this one is pretty harmless, and it's part of our folklore. As you said in your introduction, we have two of them in a row this year, which is unusual. And it offers us, people like me, a chance to expound a little bit about human nature. And I think it's one of those interesting distractions that we really cherish in our lives, you know?
An interesting look at magic and magical thinking as we look at Friday the 13th. Philip Stevens is a professor of anthropology at the University at Buffalo, New York. And we want to thank you so much for your time. And, Professor, we certainly hope that your Friday the 13th is as absolutely uneventful as possible.
And enjoyable. And it's getting warmer. The snow is melting.
We'll take that, too. That is some good stuff. Professor, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you very much.